It is a Saturday morning when we have a bit of a wine chat with our friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Jack, good morning.
How are you, Denny?
I'm doing quite well. The first Saturday officially of summer, and I'm ready for it.
I'm ready for some sunshine. I feel like we live in Seattle.
That's right. The big dome here. Yeah, well, we'll see. It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. Let's put it that way.
They say that all the time. Tomorrow never comes.
Yes.
I thought I would talk about something today that's befitting of a damp day, and that's Zinfandel. You know, Zinfandel is probably one of the most controversial grape types in the entire world. It's grown nowhere, really, but the United States, where it is called Zinfandel. It has several other names in other parts of the world where it's grown. In fact, it's sort of interesting how it came about. Most people refer to it as the American weed because there was a lot of vineyards that planted Zinfandel in the 1800s and were deserted, and people would find that Zinfandel growing what appeared to be wild. But it wasn't indeed wild, and it wasn't indeed a weed. It's a fast-maturing, interesting grape type, and that might be the reason it's so popular. Would you believe that over 10% of the vineyard land in California is devoted to Zinfandel? So if you're not or haven't tried one, you're missing a big chunk of the wine business in California. In fact, in the whole United States. It's sort of interesting, as I said, for years they didn't know where the Zinfandel came from, so they thought it was indigenous. And what really happened, as they've sort of traced it now, is there was a big nursery in New York State in the 1800s, and it did a lot of business with Austria. And at the time, that empire embraced Croatia and all those places, and Italy and Venice, etc. And they shipped some vines to try to grow in New York, etc. And someone dragged them out to California. This is the turn of the 19th century, so it's a long time ago. And then in the 70s, some brilliant oenologist noticed that there was a wine in Italy called Primitivo. It was called Primitivo because it ripened early, primary Primitivo, ripened early grape type, and it was almost the same as Zinfandel, he thought. Well, it wasn't until 1993 when they perfected DNA and all that type of things as terms of identification, particularly for rootstock, that they identified the real source of it was Croatia. But it came through the heel of Italy. The heel of Italy, Aliupa, is a very interesting area, and that's where Primitivo comes from. And today you can buy a bottle of Primitivo and a bottle of California Zinfandel and try them side by side. You see there's very definite similarities, but they're really both quite different. And it's interesting where it came from in Croatia. They recently have discovered vineyards there that were operational 4,000 years BCE, before the Christian era. So they've been producing wines in Croatia for over 6,000 years that is absolutely noted. So Zinfandel comes with a really good reputation and has been around for a long time, etc., and probably doesn't deserve to be called the American weed. But it is interesting because the taste of Zinfandel depends mostly on the ripeness of the grapes. As I said, it's harvested early, and you can have red berry fruit flavors like raspberry on the nose, which is very nice, and blackberry and pepper nose can be on the very warmer climates where grows Zinfandel. So the variety is really almost endless of what you can get when you try a Zinfandel. But Zinfandel really came into its own after Prohibition. They were looking for inexpensive wines to make for jug wine, and Zinfandel fit the bill perfectly. That's why it's so widely popular, planted and even when it wasn't very popular, because it went into those jug wines to give them body and depth, etc., which they lacked with the other grape types. And Zinfandel's a pretty hardy grape type. So it's interesting that the real popularity of Zinfandel came when Bob Trinchero of Sutter Home Winery decided to try to make something called Eye of the Partridge, which is a Swiss rosé wine, and it's pink and kind of delicious, actually. And he made this big vat of wine, and he knew Zinfandel. It was all Zinfandel, and he didn't know Zinfandel by itself wouldn't sell so well, so he named it White Zinfandel. And he had a stuck fermentation problem where the yeast dies off before all the sugar is converted to alcohol. He put it aside for a while, tried it, and he thought it was very comparable to Matus, which was a very popular rosé wine from Portugal at the time in the early 70s. So he introduced White Zinfandel. And today, believe it or not, White Zinfandel isn't as popular. It's a little on the sweet side. People are disdainful of it. But you wouldn't believe over 8% of the wine sales in the United States, 8% are White Zinfandel. So it's still a very popular wine. And while a lot of wine people consider the wine to be insipid and uninteresting, it really did save that varietal. And people were very, very interested in Zinfandel. And as I said, it has a noble history. The Primitivo from Italy is kind of most worthwhile grape to try. And you can get Primitivo today. All the wine shops have it. And as I said, Zinfandel is very popular. It's grown all over California. And they're trying to do something with it in Oregon now as well. And it does make a very interesting wine that goes with a lot of different things, particularly robust foods. In fact, there's a group called ZAP, Zinfandel of America Producers. And I've gone to a few of their meetings through the years, and it always astonishes me the range of Zinfandel. If you can get them from light and fruity, almost like a Beaujolais, to port. They actually make a Zinfandel port, which isn't half bad. It's sort of an interesting variation on port wine, which makes it worth looking for. But the foods Zinfandels go with, it's just wonderful. It's particularly, as I started out when Denny and I were talking about it, it's going to be another rainy day, overcast. A hearty meal might be in order, and Zinfandel goes very, very well with any kind of hearty meal. As a matter of fact, until Malbec became so popular, Zinfandel was my go-to wine to have with barbecue. It still goes very, very well with that sweet and hot barbecue sauce flavor. It's just remarkable. But a good young Zinfandel like Pravinera or Windstorm would be perfect to have with burgers on the grill. Zinfandel really does have a place in the lexicon of wines, and has a place. It is, granted, doesn't have the nobility or the background of, say, Pinot Noir or Chardonnay or Cabernet, but it indeed has a place, and we can be very glad that that place is here in America. As a matter of fact, the European Union has recognized Zinfandel as an American word, and wines labeled Zinfandel can only be from America. That isn't followed very well by some of our European friends over there today. But it is interesting. And the places it grows obviously produce different styles of Zinfandel. And from Santa Cruz to Sonoma, the Russian River Valley in Sonoma produces very good Zinfandels, particularly in a warm vintage. Otherwise, the grapes don't ripen very well. Mendocino County, Lodi. Lodi is kind of the star. It's the oldest Zinfandel vines in America, some of them over 100 years old. And boy, are they we're seeking out, if you can find them. Some Zinfandels will say on the bottle, old vines, and you're very, very delighted to get it. My good friend, Wayne Hogg, who's a good friend of Charlie Wagner, who started Kaimas Vineyards many years ago, he planted at the terraces Zinfandel for Wayne. And Wayne Zinfandel has won all kinds of awards. Today it's run by another family that bought it from Wayne, but the Zinfandel from terraces is still one of my number one favorite Zinfandels in the entire world. It's a little on the pricey side, but boy, it is delicious. Another good one that has local ownership from Minneapolis, Bob Greenberg, is his Frog's Leap Zinfandel. Very good. It's a Napa Valley Zinfandel, and it is just delicious. But anyhow, I think you get the idea. On a cold, damp day like today, why not try some Zinfandel? And I think you'll be pleased enough that you won't be calling it the American weed, but an American classic.
Oh, hear, hear, for sure. Well, Jack, you can find that among all these other good things and some great help at any Haskell's location.
Folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. They love to pair wine and food. Interestingly enough, Ted's 6 for 60 still goes on through tomorrow. It's a great combination of six different wines for $60, $10 a bottle. And what a great thing that is to have in the summer. The variety is wonderful. But you don't have to do just the 6 for 60. The folks at Haskell's can marry the wine with whatever you're having, and best of all, they're going to marry it with a wine that won't break the bank. So stop in. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. We have a store in Bloomington. There's one in Excelsior. In Faribault, right off at 35, our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be believed. It's huge. Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday, off at 35. Our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be believed. It's huge. Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday in downtown Minneapolis. There's a Haskell's at Minnetonka, Plymouth, St. Paul's, Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Absolutely. Jack, have a great week, and let's do this again next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
That's Jack Farrell from... It is a Saturday morning when we have a bit of a wine chat with our friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Jack, good morning.
How are you, Denny?
I'm doing quite well. The first Saturday officially of summer, and I'm ready for it.
I'm ready for some sunshine. I feel like we live in Seattle.
That's right. The big dome here. Yeah, well, we'll see. It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. Let's put it that way.
They say that all the time. Tomorrow never comes.
Well, yes.
I thought I would talk about something today that's befitting of a damp day, and that's Zinfandel. You know, Zinfandel is probably one of the most controversial grape types in the entire world. It's grown nowhere really, but the United States, where it is called Zinfandel. It has several other names in other parts of the world where it's grown. In fact, it's sort of interesting how it came about. Most people referred to it as the American weed because there was a lot of vineyards that planted Zinfandel in the 1800s and were deserted, and people would find that Zinfandel growing what appeared to be wild. But it wasn't indeed wild, and it wasn't indeed a weed. It's a fast-maturing, interesting grape type, and that might be the reason it's so popular. Would you believe that over 10% of the vineyard land in California is devoted to Zinfandel? So if you're not or haven't tried one, you're missing a big chunk of the wine business in California. In fact, in the whole United States. It's sort of interesting, as I said, for years they didn't know where the Zinfandel came from, so they thought it was indigenous. And what really happened, as they've sort of traced it now, is there was a big nursery in New York State in the 1800s, and it did a lot of business with Austria. And at the time, that empire embraced Croatia and all those places, and Italy and Venice, etc. And they shipped some vines to grow in try to grow in New York, etc. And someone dragged them out to California. This is in the turn of the 19th century, so it's a long time ago. And then in the 70s, some brilliant oenologist noticed that there was a wine in Italy called Primitivo. It was called Primitivo because it ripened early, primary Primitivo, ripened early, grape type, and it was almost the same as Zinfandel, he thought. Well, it wasn't until 1993 when they perfected DNA and all that type of things as terms of identification, particularly for rootstock, that they identified the real source of it was Croatia. But it came through the heel of Italy. The heel of Italy, Aliupa, is a very interesting area, and that's where Primitivo comes from. And today you can buy a bottle of Primitivo and a bottle of California Zinfandel and try them side by side. You see there's very definite similarities, but they're really both quite different. And it's interesting where it came from in Croatia. They recently have discovered vineyards there that were operational 4,000 years BCE, before the Christian era. So they've been producing wines in Croatia for over 6,000 years that is absolutely noted. So Zinfandel comes with a really good reputation and has been around for a long time, etc., and probably doesn't deserve to be called the American wheat. But it is interesting because the taste of Zinfandel depends mostly on the ripeness of the grapes. As I said, it's harvested early, and you can have red berry fruit flavors like raspberry on the nose, which is very nice, and blackberry and pepper nose can be on the very warmer climates where growers Zinfandel. So the variety is really almost endless of what you can get when you try a Zinfandel. But Zinfandel really came into its own after Prohibition. They were looking for inexpensive wines to make for jug wine, and Zinfandel fit the bill perfectly. That's why it's so widely popular, planted, and even when it wasn't very popular, because it went into those jug wines to give them body and depth, etc., which they lacked with the other grape types. And Zinfandel's a pretty hardy grape type, so it's interesting that the real popularity of Zinfandel came when Bob Trinchero of Sutter Home Winery decided to try to make something called Eye of the Partridge, which is a Swiss rosé wine, and it's pink and kind of delicious, actually. And he made this big vat of wine, and he knew Zinfandel, it was all Zinfandel, and he didn't know Zinfandel by itself wouldn't sell so well, so he named it White Zinfandel, and he had a stuck fermentation problem where the yeast dies off before all the sugar is converted to alcohol. He put it aside for a while, tried it, and he thought it was very comparable to Matus, which was a very popular rosé wine from Portugal at the time in the early 70s. So he introduced White Zinfandel. And today, believe it or not, White Zinfandel isn't as popular. It's a little on the sweet side. People are disdainful of it. But you wouldn't believe over 8% of the wine sales in the United States, 8% are White Zinfandel. So it's still a very popular wine. And while a lot of wine people consider the wine to be insipid and uninteresting, it really did save that varietal. And people were very, very interested in Zinfandel. And as I said, it has a noble history. The Primitivo from Italy is kind of most worthwhile grape to try. And you can get Primitivo today. All the wine shops have it. And as I said, Zinfandel is very popular. It's grown all over California. and they're trying to do something with it in Oregon now as well. And it does make a very interesting wine that goes with a lot of different things, particularly robust foods. In fact, there's a group called ZAP, Zinfandel of America Producers, and I've gone to a few of their meetings through the years, and it always astonishes me the range of Zinfandel. If you can get them from light and fruity, almost like a Beaujolais, to port. They actually make a Zinfandel port, which isn't half bad. It's sort of an interesting variation on port wine, which makes it worth looking for. But the foods Zinfandels go with, it's just wonderful. It's particularly, as I started out when Denny and I were talking about it, it's going to be another rainy day, overcast, hearty meal would might be in order, and Zinfandel goes very, very well with any kind of hearty meal. As a matter of fact, until Malbec became so popular, Zinfandel was my go-to wine to have with barbecue. It still goes very, very well with that sweet and hot barbecue sauce flavor. It's just remarkable. But a good young Zinfandel like Pravinera or Windstorm would be perfect to have with burgers on the grill. Zinfandel really does have a place in the lexicon of wines and has a place. It is, granted, doesn't have the nobility or the background of, say, Pinot Noir or Chardonnay or Cabernet, but it indeed has a place, and we can be very glad that that place is here in America. As a matter of fact, the European Union has recognized Zinfandel as an American word, and wines labeled Zinfandel can only be from America. That isn't followed very well by some of our European friends over there today, but it is interesting. And the places it grows obviously produce different styles of Zinfandel. And from Santa Cruz to Sonoma, the Russian River Valley in Sonoma produces very good Zinfandels, particularly in a warm vintage. Otherwise, the grapes don't ripen very well. Mendocino County, Lodi. Lodi is kind of the star. It's the oldest Zinfandel vines in America, some of them over 100 years old. And boy, are they worth seeking out if you can find them. But some Zinfandels will say on the bottle, old vines, and you're very, very delighted to get it. My good friend, Wayne Hogg, who's a good friend of Charlie Wagner, who started Kaimas Vineyards many years ago, he planted at the terraces Zinfandel for Wayne. And Wayne Zinfandel has won all kinds of awards. Today it's run by another family that bought it from Wayne, but the Zinfandel from Terraces is still one of my number one favorite Zinfandels in the entire world. It's a little on the pricey side, but boy, it is delicious. Another good one that has local ownership from Minneapolis, Bob Greenberg, is his Frog's Leap Zinfandel. Very good. It's a Napa Valley Zinfandel, and it is just delicious. But anyhow, I think you get the idea. On a cold, damp day like today, why not try some Zinfandel? And I think you'll be pleased enough that you won't be calling it the American weed, but an American classic.
Oh, hear, hear, for sure. Well, Jack, you can find that among all these other good things and some great help at any Haskell's location.
Folks at Haskell's love to talk about wine. They love to pair wine and food. Interestingly enough, Ted's 6 for 60 still goes on through tomorrow. It's a great combination of six different wines for $60, $10 a bottle. And what a great thing that is to have in the summer. The variety is wonderful. But you don't have to do just the 6 for 60. The folks at Haskell's can marry the wine with whatever you're having. And best of all, they're going to marry it with a wine that won't break the bank. So stop in. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. We have a store in Bloomington. There's one in Excelsior. In Faribault, right off at 35. Our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be believed. It's huge. Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday off at 35. Our super cellar up in Maple Grove is not to be believed. It's huge. Minneapolis, we have free parking on Saturday and Sunday in downtown Minneapolis. There's the Haskells at Minnetonka, Plymouth, St. Paul's, Highland Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskells, go to Haskells.com. And don't forget, we do deliver.
Absolutely. Jack, have a great week, and let's do this again next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
That's Jack Farrell from...